Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you'll find several speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Roy.
You told me not to curse. I will not curse from the podium. Was it on the podium? No. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and a miracle of mental health. My name is Roy L.
Hi, Roy.
Nice to be here. I love the mission statement of this meeting. It's beautiful. I'm on board with it. It's not why this meeting's here. This meeting's here for a much more time-honored, traditional 12-step reason. It's called the resentment in a coffee pot. That's why this meeting's here. Because I was pissed off at OA because they never gave me enough time to tell my story. So, I started this meeting. I forget how long it's been now. Walter G was here, Sandy L. It's been a long time. And then I stopped coming for a while because my schedule changed. And then lately I've been able to stop, and it's really good. So, I want to, first of all, invoke a higher power. I need to remember that, God, let me carry a message here. I'm just a messenger boy. Let me be aware of that, because there are newcomers in the room, and I don't want to scare them away. As a matter of fact, my job, according to the book, is to win your confidence, and I want the newcomers to be able to go out of this meeting and say, you know, that guy was crazier than I was, and he's been That's really my job. And if you are new, I hope that you've gotten to what we call step zero, which is, there's a shorthand for it. We read it in How It Works. It's called We Stood at the Turning Point. It's also referred to as the jumping off place, where you can't live the way you're eating and you can't live without eating, obviously, and you don't know what to do. And the long form of that is still in the book, and it just says, we came to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we've been living it. And that's really step zero, expressed in the language of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And everything I say is based on that book. My first food sponsor when I moved to L.A. 17 years ago was Roseanne, who once tried to rewrite the steps. She paid a price for that, which I'm not willing to pay, but she got the message. One of the last times I saw her, she used to go to Serenity Sunday, and I used to see her regularly. That was my home group. But she, one of the last, you know, then her husband died, various things happened. One of the last times I saw her, she was in Samuel's book study in East LA, but a lot of OA members. He did a good job. He helped a lot of OA members. And everything I need to know about recovery is in the big book, but I have to adopt it for OA. Like Candy said, the credits don't transfer, but study habits help, we used to say, you know. And we also used to say, you know, you think joining a 12-step program is a bridge back to life, and you find out it's a tunnel to another 12-step program. That's also been an experience. Just to win your confidence, I'll tell you that my top weight was 280-something. That's 100, over 100 pounds where I am now. I gained and lost 80 pounds three times. I've been on, my first diet. I came from a family of compulsive overeaters. I'm the only one in the beverage program in my family. Everybody else was a compulsive overeater. They never could figure out the alcohol, but they got the food problem because they all had it. My father was diabetic. Adult onset, the doctor said, if you just don't eat carbs and sugars, you take these little aura-based habits, you won't have to shoot insulin, you're going to live a normal life, you know. And my mother would find half-eaten boxes of chocolates under his bed, and of course he wound up shooting insulin. I used to remember seeing the insulin, the syringes in the refrigerator. You have to keep it refrigerated. That's where the disease took him. My mother was always on diets. My brother's been up to, he said he denies 280-something. I think he was up over 280. But he's down now, walking compulsively in the desert 2 hours a day, you know, doing the same kind of shit I used to do. I identify as a recovered compulsive overeater and also an exercise bulimic. I'll go into that if I get enough time, which I hope I do. That's why I started this meeting. But can you give me a reminder about six? You're a timer?
Yeah.
Would you please get my attention? Don't bother interrupting me. I mean, don't worry about interrupting me. Just yell out Roy or whatever. Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on the food law. Because the real purpose of that is just to win your confidence. So you newcomers can say, holy shit, that guy was a basket case. You know? He was as bad, if not worse, than I am. And look at him. You know, I've been passing for normal now for 35 years. But you know better. You will after you hear my story. So I came from a compulsive overeater family, always on diets. It was like we were speed eaters. My brother, to this day, I've never seen anybody like inhale a pizza, a slice of pizza, scalding hot, oily, steam coming off, it's like, it's gone, you know? And the family dinner, you know, which is supposed to be like, what's that, you know, dinner with the Nelsons or Leave It to Beaver with Father Cleaver, and it was more like the pigs descend on a trough, you get your food quickly because of the neurotic arguments and yelling and abuse is going to start, so you get your food and get the hell out. So to this day, I'm a speed eater. All right, I've slowed down thanks to the program. Thank you, God. So I want to say that I am abstinent today over 35 years by the grace of God and the spiritual principles of Overeaters Anonymous as adapted for our program from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is the way I work this program with my sponsees. And my adapter is very simple. You buy some whiteout, and you cross out alcohol, and you put in food, and you cross out alcoholism and you put in compulsive overeater. Because in the doctor's opinion, it says, I've dealt with alcoholic addiction in this hospital he's working at, Dr. William D. Silkworth. And the D stands for Duncan, by the way. And I'm sorry, I'm like that. But alcoholic addiction. So they're addicts. They're alcohol addicts. That the original presentation of this book was for alcohol addicts. It works for food addicts. It works for cocaine addicts. It works for narcotics addicts. It works for gambling addicts. It works for sex and love addicts. It works for Al-Anon, who are people who are addicted to fixing us. That's their addiction. It works for any kind of addiction. And I'm just a food addict. And I was actually a food addict before I was an alcohol addict. I mean, I was fat since the age of 7. I was only drunk since the age of 12. Well, actually 16 is when I could really get my hands on it. And I don't want to go into the beverage program story except to say that I'll mention one thing. I once tried to lose weight by going vegetarian and living on vodka and mashed potatoes for a month. And it did not work. I gained weight on that food plan. That's all I want to say. But anyway, my first diet was amphetamines. Now, for me, food was a great downer. It was a sedative. I like to go down. You know how the pythons will eat a wild boar, and they got this big lump? I think I like to curl up and digest for a couple weeks. The problem with me is I'd eat the wild boar and then have a lump and then 2 hours later I'd want to eat again. But it was a downer, you know. So I take the amphetamines and now I began my first compulsive exercise. And they had a two-story apartment up in Jersey where I'm from originally. And I started running up and down the stairs and I went on some diet with the amphetamines, which I was not a happy camper on amphetamines. And I lost 80 pounds or whatever the hell it was. First time, you know, I was young. Gained it all back. See, diets will work on a physical level, but we find out in our program that we have a physical allergy to certain foods. We call them our binge foods, trigger foods, alcoholic foods, red light foods. Call them whatever you want. We used to call them, when I came in, they were binge foods. I came in the old days of gray sheep. And so I have a physical allergy, but I have a mental obsession. I may not be eating, but all I'm thinking about is the fact that I'm not eating. And I wish I could be eating. And then there's food maybe someday I will be able to eat. And somehow if I get a magic number, I will eat them. So I'm still obsessed, even though I may be losing weight on a diet. So then I learned I have a spiritual malady. That if I don't adjust the spiritual malady, the insidious insanity of the first compulsive bite returns and I pick up some food and next thing you know it kicks in. You know, like, I have binge foods. I have abstained now for over 35 years from candy, refined sugars. I don't eat cake, donuts, ice cream. I don't even eat pizza. It's the only one I kind of miss, but I'm not going to take it back. Why would I mess with my serenity? I like being passing for normal. And so I go on the crazy amphetamines diet, lose 80 pounds, gain it all back. Because diets only address the physical level. We have a threefold disease. We're not a diet and calories club. You'll find that out soon enough. Second major diet was the Stillman diet. I was down at the University of Miami. Then the compulsive exercising got in, really got weird. Like, we're talking like, I was joining the judo club, I was lifting weights, I was swimming over a mile in the Olympic pool, I was running 12 miles a day in Miami heat, 90 degrees, 90 degree humidity, noon. Nobody runs in Miami at noon, 90 degrees and 90 degree heat in the summer. Nobody, unless you're a compulsive overeater, trying to somehow exercise the great obsession that somehow, someday I'm going to control and enjoy this thing. Okay, that maybe I won't eat again. Maybe I won't gain it back. Maybe I'll be able to keep it off. Maybe I'll find a magic diet. It's a delusion. The book calls it a delusion. Someday, somehow, I'm going to control and enjoy my food. And that delusion, says our book, has to be smashed. So I moved up north, and guess what happened? 80 pounds or more comes back. You know, every time I lost the weight, it was painful enough, but it seemed to come back with a fury that was intensified. It's a progression. The book's clear on that. It's a progressive disease. It only gets worse, never better. Well, I said, what was the next big one? Ah, the pregnant hormone shots. Yeah. And then they put you on a 500-calorie-a-day diet. I remember this grinning, evil, thin osteopath. He had a clinic running in Jersey, and then across the Delaware River, he had one running in Pennsylvania. And he was smiling, and he was thin, and all these fat people, mostly women, but some men like me were lining up, and he took your blood pressure or some shit, and he, you know, gave you this 500-calorie-a-day Auschwitz diet, and gave you the shot of this placebo, and, you know, and anybody's going to lose weight on that food plan, I'll tell you, you know. But I joined a gym up in Jersey. Now I go from running in 90-degree heat in Miami, high noon, to I'm running behind a snowplow in the middle of winter in New Jersey with a ski mask on. And the snowflakes are coming down. And I remember this guy with like a fur coat. They have like two-story houses and houses with porches back east. I guess they have a few out here too, but guy comes out to get his paper, you know, the paperwork, and he's got his fur coat, and he sees me running behind a snowplow. He goes, "Hey, Rocky, hey, yeah!" I guess he thought I was on the Olympic team or something. Who the hell else is running with a ski mask behind a snowplow in the middle of a goddamn blizzard in New Jersey in the winter? Except a compulsive overeater. Somehow, someday, it will be different. I want to bottom out here. I mean, this is getting annoying. The last major one was the liquid protein. Liquid protein. Tasted like... Well, I've never tasted panther piss, so for me to say it tasted like panther piss. But I imagine it tastes like panther piss. But I used to cut it with orange soda, diet orange soda. I remember I hadn't had solid food for a month. You know, so hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. I don't think hungry is quite the word. It's like, I haven't had solid food for a month. I thought I was going to take a tennis lesson. I remember the racket seemed very heavy. You know, I didn't have a lot of blood. So I canceled the tennis lesson. I'll never forget this. This is kind of, it led to my bottom. I canceled the tennis lesson. It was a Friday night in Miami. And I knew all my friends were down in the Coconut Grove chasing women. They're getting drunk. They're getting stoned. They're eating, you know. And I wanted to hold out to Monday, because Monday I was the weigh-in day. There's going to be a magic number on the scale. Somehow it'll be different. Maybe I won't want to eat. Maybe I can... I don't know what I was thinking. It's an insanity. It's a delusion. The book calls it a delusion, that somehow, someday... It's the great obsession, it's called. I don't know what I was thinking, but I wanted to hold out to Monday, to weigh-in day, and I couldn't hold out. I cracked. I remember getting up. I had no blood sugar. You know, I hadn't eaten solid food for a month. You know, holding on to the wall. But you know, I got to the car. Dayland was right around the corner of the shopping center. And here's how an alcoholic and a compulsive overeater breaks a 30-day fast. I bought two cases of wine and two pizzas. And the only thing I want to tell you, say about that night is I wound up in jail. That's all I want to say. But it led to about a year later my getting sober in the beverage program. And you know how it is when you come in one, you hear about the other ones. Right? So the geniuses in AA are telling me, well, if you feel like taking a drink, have some candy. Oh, these guys, they know what they're doing. See, that's maybe valid. It's actually in the book, but it may be valid advice for an alcoholic who's not a compulsive overeater. If you read Bill's story, he says, I went down to 135 pounds and could hardly eat anything at all, you know. That's not my story. Okay? When I'm coming down off a drunk, I would buy a pound and a half of marzipan. You know what marzipan is? I'd eat a pound and a half of marzipan. Or sometimes I'd have the shakes in the morning. I'd eat like half a pound of bacon, 6 eggs, 4 pieces of toast with butter, you know, maybe a half a watermelon, you know. I never stopped eating. I don't care how drunk I was. I never stopped eating. So they're telling me, you know, if you want to take a drink, take a candy bar. So I gained 30 pounds the first month I'm sober. Because remember, I was fat before I was drunk. Food is actually my first drug, see. Alcohol came on. It's a powerful drug, alcohol, but, food was always there. So I'm out of control of the food. I was about 8 months sober. I literally remember getting on my knees saying, God, when I get back to Miami, I was out of state, I was in Vermont, I gotta get to this OA thing I've been hearing about. So, and you know, I like to get on my knees and pray like a pig once in a while. It never hurts me. I don't whine like a swine waiting in the line to die. And I don't wail like a snail sliding backwards on his tail. And I will not grovel like a dog digging in the dust. But I will get down on my knees and pray like a pig. I just had an evangelical convulsion in OA. Does anybody have any Xanax? Jose, love you. I'm just fine with you all. No, I was on my knees praying. God, give me no OA. Get to OA, my first meeting. All women. I don't think there was a man in my first meeting. You know, I was a young buck. I was still running 6 miles a day and doing all sorts of shit. And these women were, I won't say they were old because I'm older than them now. But by the end of the meeting, we say the serenity prayer, and this woman, her name was Edie, comes up to me and says, how do you know the serenity prayer? Well, I'm an AA too. I wasn't thrilled to be in OA. My attitude was like, what are these women doing with my big book? And she says, well, my name is Edie. Now, this is why we tell our stories, right? To gain your confidence. My name is Edie, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I lost 90 pounds and kept it off for 5 years. Now, that got my attention. Okay, that's why we tell our story, see. And she became my first sponsor, and it was all grace. The higher power was kind of in... Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. The higher power was kind of in the food plan back then. I saw all sorts of weird inventory formats floating around. They had all these questions, which from how... Well, there was no how then. How came later. When OA abandoned food plans. But let me put it this way. I wasn't thrilled to be in OA, okay? But I had to be in OA. I'd come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as I'd been living it. And food was a great persuader. So they put me on Gray Sheet, one size fits all. Flexibility was not Edie's strong suit. If I wanted to change anything on that plan, I had to call her first. If I said, well, Edie, instead of an apple, can I eat a pear? She never would let me eat the goddamn pear. No, too much sugar in the pear. Eat the apple. Well, Edie, this food plan, can I put milk in the coffee? No. You don't need that extra money. Now, meanwhile, I'm 25 years younger than them, and I'm running 6 miles a day, and we're all on the same. And, I'm starving. And I was due to go to France, ostensibly to study languages, only cute, as the French say, looking back on it, I was running from my problems. But you couldn't have told me then, because I was sober, so how could I be doing a geographic sober? I know better now. But I was going to France, and she told me to put a brown bag of lunch, but I was too cool a brown bag, you know, I'm from the mothership here. Remember, what are you doing with my big book? I wouldn't listen. The tools are very important, newcomers. The tools are how we do our first spiritual actions. You know, we're talking about when you get your ass to your first meeting. That's a spiritual act. When you stick up that hand and say, I'm a compulsive overeater, that is a very spiritual thing. Getting this hug and this chip, that's very a spiritual act. When you first approach a woman, they sponsor you, or a man, that's a spiritual act. When you get on a food plan, that's a spirit. All those tools are very, very spiritual. In AA, we just say, don't drink, go to meetings. Okay, they got a very easy food plan, by the way. It's called no alcohol. Your sponsor's really creative, and no drugs, which I usually add. But didn't brown bag, it was too cool. They had diabetic meals. I ordered one, I get on the plane. Oh, I checked in the bags. You got my diabetic meal? Yes, Mr. Son. Checked with the stewardess coming on the plane. You got my diabetic meal? Oh, yeah, we have you here. All right, so now I've been on Gracie for a couple weeks. I'm starving. I'm hating it. I ate about 6 in the morning. You got to give time for the plane to come out and clear everything out. So now it's about 2 in the afternoon, and I am starving. I'm starving from being on Gracie. I'm starving from not having eaten since 6 in the morning. Comes time to pass out the diabetic meals. The food service forgot to put the diabetic meals on the plane, but I was too cool to brown bag. So they served the trays, and it puts shit in front of me that I hadn't seen for 2 weeks. And it really wasn't that bad. It was like, you know, maybe potatoes, and but there was the cupcake, you know, with the frosting. And so I couldn't hold out. You know, I took the first compulsive bite. I suppose there might have been a way for me to deal with it, but I just said, F this. Okay, I won't curse from the podium. And I took the first compulsive bite, and then I was off and running. So I said to the neighbor, you going to eat your cupcake? No. I might have gotten 2 or 3 cupcakes out of that meal, but you know how they say you hit the ground running? Well, I hit the ground in France eating. And so I'm going to the meetings in Paris, and they're like, it's like the shakiest, flakiest OA group that ever existed. The Paris group. I mean, you know, the compulsive overeaters are binging, the bulimics are puking, the anorexics are starving. I'm 8 months sober and totally out of control, and I'm quoting from the 12 and 12, like Joe Recovery, and Morissette, our French pioneer who brought the program from Atlanta where she did her medical residency, and now she's Natalie. She rebirthed herself. And Bob R. was there 11 years sober. He's throwing up 11 times a day. We had an anorexic whose parents were psychiatrists. And it really freaked them out that with all their medical knowledge, they spawned this Looney Tune, you know what I mean? She's coming down to 80 pounds or whatever. No, and we're out of control with the food. Everybody's out of control. And I'll cut it short because I want to talk about steps in recovery. And let me just say that I was in a language school in Aix-en-Provence. By the way, I'm a co-founder of the first AA group in Aix-en-Provence in French. Well, thank you. There was this lunatic, Jean-Pierre C., who was absolutely insane, with about a year sober, and I was 8 months sober, insane, out of control of the food. But drunks get drunk, so we started this. It was the clinic of Dr. Renault. It was like, out goes the bad blood, in goes the good blood. I mean, he was transfusing these drunks, you know, and but they loved us, so they let us start an AA meeting. But meanwhile, I'm out of control of the food. So I'm in X, and I remember I was in the train station. I used to take the Midnight Express up to Paris, and I'd eaten about 5 or 6 French Mountain bars. Now, they call them bounty bars. But they were chocolate-covered coconut. I mean, I go all the way to Paris, and what am I binging on? Bread, cheese, and chocolate for the most part. And it's good bread, good cheese, good jam. They have really good stuff over there. But still, I mean, I used to take a log, a pain ordinaire, which is about as big as a Yule log. It's not the baguette, the thin one. I'd slice it like this, take a wheel of coulommiers, a quarter pound of French butter, lather it up, put the coulommiers on there. My French roommates would look at me, and they were appalled. And I was eating enough to feed a family for a week, you know, for breakfast. And they were drinking like a bowl of cocoa. I don't know why French drink breakfast out of bowls, but they did at that time. America's totally screwed things up over there. There's McDonald's and Burger King and everything. But, and then I wouldn't drink wine, which absolutely drove them absolutely batshit. I offended it. I drink Vichy water with bread and cheese, which you might as well slap Charles de Gaulle in the face or something. So I offended her. But anyway, I'm out of control, and I'm eating this French Mounds bar, about the fifth or sixth one. It was like anti-gravity. I had no power. Like, that bar was going into that mouth, you know. And I had no power to stop that bar from coming up to that mouth. And that's why I say I have accidents today by the grace of God. Now, remember, it was a moment of truth where I said to myself, do you really want this thing more than you want to be abstinent? And the truth was, I actually wanted to be abstinent, but you know, you'd already had five. And I didn't want to haggle with the French kiosk lady in French to get my money back, because they're kind of sticky about that in France. So, all right, it's like that thing in the Big Book where he says, how did I ever get started again? And the next thing you know, I'm pounding on the bar. But I might as well get good and drunk now, you know. So I'm all right, I already had five. Well, down the hatch, you know. But when I got up in Paris that morning, I said, I'm going to be abstinent. And I got through breakfast. Okay, give me three softball eggs. Take the bread away. Enlevez le pain, s'il vous plaît. Enlevez le pain, monsieur. You know, you got to be firm with French waiters. And he took the bread away, and I had coffee. Un café crème, un grand crème, bien chaud, s'il vous plaît. Fuck you. Oh, screw you, Edie. You ain't here in Paris. On my shoulder, I'm putting milk in the coffee. You know, an apple for dessert, or a pear, then a mont place. Bien mieux, very right. You know, because Edie's not on my back in Paris. She can't do anything to me here. So the bottom line is I have an abstinent breakfast. Three eggs, no bread, apple or a pear, coffee with milk. Big deal. I'm going around Paris doing my thing. Go to the noon A meeting, go out to fellowship afterwards with the drunks. Faux filet avec du salade, enlevez le pain frit, évitez le pain frit, je n'aime pas le pain frit. No french fries, enlevez le pain, give the bread to the neighbor. You know, apple, pear for dessert. Un grand coin, s'il vous plaît, bien sûr. Put milk in the coffee, give me a coffee. So now I'm absent for lunch. Do my thing. I go to the, I have a dinner that's abstinent. And then the Monday night meeting used to be on the right bank near the President's Palace off of Rue Saint-Honoré, I think it was. Very nice section of town. It was St. Michael's English Church, L'Église Saint-Michel in French. And Monday night they had the OA meeting. They had two OA meetings at the time. Nobody was absent. So I get to the meeting and I am abstinent. I am abstinent. And what I want to report about that thing was, it was the moment. I was abstinent in the moment. I was just trying to get through breakfast abstinent and lunch abstinent and get through dinner abstinent. And now I'm abstinent in this for my first day in over a month. You know how it is when the weights come back on and the clothes are getting tight. 10 minutes. God damn it. That's not enough time. I'm going to start another meeting. And I just wanted to announce the meeting to be the superstar and VIP. So when they say, read how it works, does anybody want to talk? My hand shoots up. I got something to tell you guys today. I'm abstinent today. And then Morissette looks at me and she goes, I'm abstinent today. And then Bob R. goes, I'm abstinent today. The whole group gets abstinent on the same day at the same time. And I could not be the superstar. And it is a group miracle. And as far as I'm concerned, the greatest spiritual event in France is Lourdes. And it was the origin of French OA, because we only had English speaking. But after that, somehow, there's French OA. It's actually stronger than probably the English OA. All right. The lesson from that is you can get abstinent anywhere. I got guys that tell me they can't go out to meetings afterwards for fellowship because the food still calls to them, you know. I don't know what to tell you, but the book tells me that if I can't be around food or where people are serving food, I still have a compulsive overeater's mind. That's what the book tells me. So I don't know what they're doing, but it ain't what I'm doing. Because what I got from this program is on page 83, 84, and 85. And that includes the 10-step promises, which says if I were presented with an opportunity to compulsively overeat, I will recoil as if from a hot flame. It says it's happened automatically. I'm not afraid. I'm not cocky. I'm not afraid. I'm not doing anything. It just happened automatically. The problem has been removed. And all I'm telling you is that I stepped into a state of grace over 35 years ago. I can't take credit for it because there was no power to keep that candy bar from going in. And all of a sudden, I'm in a state of grace. So the key is, how do I stay here for 35 years? I've been in the same maintenance range now for over 35 years. And when I say I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, I mean the obsession has been lifted. I can go to an AA meeting fellowship and they're eating cakes and candies and ice creams and don't bother me. I'm sorry, I mean, I'm not trying to brag. That's what the book promises me. So if you don't have that in your life, you better talk to me after this meeting. I might show you how to get it. Okay, because the book says that there's a price that has to be paid after turning all things to the Father in light, of light, which means this is a spiritual program. It's not a diet and calories club. I come in here, I make contact. You know, the food beat me into a state of reasonableness. Step one, I came to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life. I've been leading it. The delusion that I was like normal people was smashed, definitely in Paris. It was smashed. Step two, I've come to believe that there's some power here. If I got somebody who's got a problem with the G word, and every once in a while I do run into an atheist or agnostic. Actually, there's a lot of them in the beverage program, and the only comment I have to say about that is the agnostic trail leads to the Prozac country is the only comment I have on that. And I can tell you that I come in here, I tell anybody who's an agnostic or an atheist, I direct them to the doctor's opinion. It says these men believe in themselves and even more so in this power which pulls chronic compulsive overeaters back from the gates of insanity and death. I've been at the gates of insanity and death with compulsive overeater, and I made contact with a power. And when you hear these stories, so all you got to do as a newcomer is come and listen. Listen to the podcast. Read the stories in the Brown book. That's OA stories. Go to speaker meetings. How can you not believe there's a power here that pulls these chronic compulsive overeaters back from the gates of insanity and death? We got people in this room. I know you are a 100-pounder, right? This lady? No? Well, we have 100-pounders. There's 100-pounders in this room. I swear to you, they're somewhere besides me. There are 100-pounders here. Go to the 100-pounders meetings. They're there. They have pictures. We can prove it. So there's power. And so if you can't put your little mind around the G word, the best advice is in step two of the A, 12 and 12, where he says, stop trying to figure it out. He says, quit the debating society. Relax. Take it easy. Stop trying to figure out which came first, the hen or the egg. That's the best advice ever given to a newcomer. Relax. Take it easy. Stop trying to get God through the head. It never comes through the head. It comes through the ass. Get your seat in the meeting and listen. The disease is in your head. See? That'll tell you you can eat a candy bar and get away with it. See? When you make a decision, you say, well, I want what these people have. They've got some power here. Okay? And that's the third step decision. Do you want a piece of the serenity pie? Not the chocolate cream pie. The serenity pie. Do you want this power in your life? If you make that decision, you're ready to do inventory. Okay, because the decision will mean nothing unless immediately followed up by a serious search for the flaws in our makeup. Because overeating, obesity, and compulsive overeating is but a symptom of my disease. I have to get down to causes and conditions. If you don't know where these lines come from, try reading the big book. You know, everything I do is based on that book because it works. It works when my first AA sponsor was a nightmare. I am not impressed by years. I have a daily reprieve. There's people around longer than me that I'm not interested in their opinions. I'm not interested in their opinions. I was almost killed by a guy with 14 years more sobriety than me when I was new. If it ain't the big book, it's somebody's opinion. You want to bet your life on somebody's opinion? Be my guest. I wouldn't. So I do the inventory, and I get in touch with the flaws in my makeup. I'm driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-pity. I step on the toes of my fellows. They're Italian. Now I'm hating them, and I'm eating at them. And I got to see. And you will see if you do inventory with somebody who knows what they're doing. And there are people around OA who do. There's a couple good big book workshops. I highly recommend them for newcomers, especially mine. You will see that you're manufacturing your own misery. That my problems are not coming at me, they're coming from me. Okay? And if I see that, then I get ready in step 6 and 7 to give them to God. We don't work on character defects in this program. They're about to be cast out. It's a spiritual exorcism with a very, very specific purpose, which is to fit me to be a maximum service to God and to my fellows. In other words, I'm here to serve you. And that's why I do a lot of service for these various fellowships. I started a lot of meetings. I started this one. And I do workshops. And I'm here to serve you. And that's the purpose. Yes, I want to get my life in order. And I don't want to eat again, of course. It's the food that gets us here. I didn't come here to be spiritual. I came here because I couldn't stop eating. But it's the food that gets us here, and we find out that it's all about connecting with God. As you understand Him, as I understand Him. I call my higher power God as I don't understand Him. He's never required me to understand Him. The book says He won't make hard terms for me. You know. Then if I have seen that I'm creating this mess, which is on this inventory, one of the greatest little throwaway lines in the book, we turn to this list because it holds the key to the future. Anybody here interested in the key to the future? I am. And I learn that if I ask to have these defects removed and I pray for power in that 7th step, I go into steps 8 and 9. And every step confirms the previous step. If a guy holds hands, says the prayer, and I give him the inventory format, and he doesn't show up with his inventory, it confirms he really hasn't done step 3. It's when he shows up with the inventory, 4 confirms 3. When he reads it to me in 5 and I realize he hasn't left anything out, he's withheld nothing, he's told me all his life story, 5 confirms 4. And then I say, alright, you see how you created this mess, you see your defects, you see you're driven by fear, are you ready to give this up? Oh yeah! Okay, well, let's start making the list of people you're going to make amends to. Well, if he's not willing to do 8 and 9, he's not ready to give those defects up. You know? It took me 14 years to get cash register honest in this program. You know what got me to stop stealing? Paying back the money. 8 and 9 confirms it, 6 and 7. Otherwise, I'll say I'm sorry to you, do the same goddamn thing to you the next day, and say I'm sorry again. I'm a sorry son of a bitch. An amend is not an apology. The book says a remorseful muttering of I'm sorry will not fill the bill. An amend is how can I set this right? I owe you this money, here it is. I did that, I had to do that in the Mill Valley Market. Turn in there and say, you know, I used to steal meat from this market and switch labels and shit. Here's a check. And you know what he said to me? I read about guys like you. What the hell does that mean? I don't know. But I was willing to do it. Thank you. Oh, I'm being pushed out here. I'm getting the bones rush. All right. Anyway, if I go through 4 through 9, 10, 11, and 12 is all about taking the power I've gotten out into the world and helping others, especially other compulsive overeaters. And I ask for prayer in step 11 through prayer and meditation. I ask for guidance on how to do this. When I knew I was going to speak today, I asked, all right, God, help me deliver a message that might help these people and make it about you, not me. Okay, so I hope I've done a little bit of that today. So thank you for letting me share.